This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
I am excited to share the word with you. I really am today. I consider it an honor. I don't want that to sound like rhetoric, because it just really is an honor for me to get to do this. I'm so thankful for the privilege to share the word with you. And my hope today is to challenge you and inspire you to be who God's called you to be, to really live the life that God's called you to live. It is available for you. There is a great life that God has called you to. And I pray that you have ears to hear and that your heart's ready to receive the truth of this simplicity of this message, but yet the grand scope of how big and wonderful our God is. This message stems really from a message Pastor Bill preached on the 29th of June. You can watch it on the archives online. But he preached a message and simply said in Genesis 1, that when on day one, when he said, "Let there be light," that was the earliest form of the Hebrew word for Messiah, which is the promise. So when he said, "Let there be light," his presence came on the scene. On day four, the sun, the moon, the stars were created. But on day one, his presence came on the scene. And from his presence and from his preexistence and from his promise and from his word, the rest of creation came. But he was here first, and his presence came on the scene. And the Bible said he was light, and he separated the darkness, and he brought life. The dictionary term for light is very simple. It's something that brings visibility or affords illumination. God, in his purest form, brings illumination and simplicity to your life. He gives clarity to it. Jesus brought illumination. The word brings illumination, which I hope to be able to communicate that to you with clarity today. But God brings light. His presence came on the scene. His promise was here. He is a perpetual flow. He is the very essence of life itself. He is the one who created and initiated this whole life that we live, the world that we live in. He created a beautiful creation. He didn't have to put colors in the rainbow. He didn't have to put smells in the flowers. He didn't have to make the beautiful blue skies and the sun to come up and just the wonderful weather that we experienced this week. He didn't have to do the wonderful things that he did. He went over and above. He placed billions of stars. Don't you think it would have been suffice to have maybe 10 or 12? He put billions of them out there. It's an ever-existing universe. He is a big God. And here's what's amazing. The Bible says he's numbered the stars. That doesn't mean he knows there's 2 billion. He knows that this particular star is number 1,476,842. That's how infinitely wise God is. God knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. He was self-existent. He initiated this life. And when day one happened, his presence came on the scene, and his presence is still here. And I hope to communicate that with you today. But now listen, as beautiful and magnificent as this creation is, the Bible says in Romans 1 that all of mankind sees the beautiful attributes of creation, and they know that God is real. They know that God exists. A lot of them suppress the truth, is what it says in Romans 1, and they live in darkness. They suppress the obvious realization of God and his majesty. They suppress that, and they choose to live in this darkness. And their hearts, their foolish hearts, become darkened, is what it says in Romans 1. Because look, when Adam sinned, then darkness did come into the world. Sin came into the world. And inside this majestic creation, there is this tainted world that we live in, where sin came, and the wages of sin is death, and with sin comes sickness and separation and loneliness and fear. And unfortunately, so often our day-to-day life, our attention goes to those things. Our attention is on the weight of the world and the effects of sin and the hardships that we deal with day in and day out. Our attention goes to those things, and we typically put our attention on them, which magnifies them and makes them bigger. We do live in them on a grand scale. Oh my gosh, there's gang violence. There's sex trafficking, little girls being sold in slavery around the world. There's world hunger. There's people starving to death. How do we address that? How do we help with it? It's so hard to me to think, how do I impact that? 7.5 billion people in the world, and there's such heartache and pain, but let's scale it down to your personal world. There's heartache. There's disappointment. Man, the relationship didn't work out. The kids aren't where they need to be. Man, you have bills to pay. You have finances. You have stresses. You have strains. People have said things to you that cause you to suffer an offense. It hurts your heart. Your parents abandoned you. You were left for adoption. Whatever it is, man, there's just personal heartache and difficulty and adversity that we live in this beautiful creation that God designed. Man, we were separated from God, but it doesn't change who God is. God is light. God is the Messiah. God is the anointed one. God, in his presence, there's fullness of joy and peace. He hasn't changed. That perpetual flow is still there since day one. We got separated from it, but you have the opportunity to conform to the image of Christ, to get yourself back in the flow of God and let that flow happen in your life and live this life that God's called you to do. We are not just existing in this world. As a matter of fact, we are foreigners in this world. That's hard to get logically. It's a faith thing. We are citizens of heaven. You are seated in heavenly places. You are no longer, it's you that live, but Christ that lives in you. It is God and his presence in you. We are the church. We are set apart. We are separated. We are set for good things because the Holy Spirit and presence of God now lives on the inside of us. I hope to be able to paint a picture for you that stems from day one, that you can take it with you. I have a lot of scripture to share with you. I want you to simply take good notes today. I want you to write down the references. You're not going to see them all because I'm going to go through quite a bit, and then we'll get to Colossians 1 and we'll break it open together and we can look at it together. But I want to lay a foundation for you. God is light. Okay? It seems like a point I've already made because the Bible says in day one, let there be light. That was God. His presence came on the scene. He brought illumination. He brought his presence. He is the essence of life itself. But in 1 John 1:5, it says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. He separated the light from the darkness. There is no darkness in him. It is separate from darkness. He is light. He is illumination. James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He is not going to change. He is consistent. He is light. Period. He is the light and liberty. When he came on the scene, his liberty came on the scene. When his presence came on the scene, his power came on the scene. His freedom came on the scene. His anointing came on the scene. His love, his joy, his peace came on the scene. That's who he is, and he doesn't change. There's no shifting shadows. There's no dim days. There's no dimness in him. Today, he's not a dim light. He's not lights off taking a rest today. He is light, and it's separated from darkness. He is light and illumination. But then we know that Jesus is light. Jesus was God's son, and he was God in human form. And it says in John 12:46, it says that I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness, should not live in darkness. You guys know what it is to be in darkness. You wander around, you trip over stuff, you stub your toe, you're breaking things, you don't know where the door is, you can't find things. You don't have to live in this world living in darkness. You can have vision and clarity and an idea of purpose and significance for your life and understand the future and the hope that God's called you to and the good things he has planned for you. I can know direction and have direction. I can hear his voice and I can be led by the Spirit of God in my life. I don't have to live and abide in darkness while I exist and do my life in this world. I can have the light of God operative in my life because I believe in Jesus. Jesus brought illumination to the world. His example, the way he lived life, it illuminated. It brought illumination around the people. The people were drawn to it like a moth to the flame. He was light and they were drawn to him. He brought light everywhere he went. Then it says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. You have the ability to walk as children of the light now. But listen, he says, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. It's not just light and radiance. It's the life that illuminates. It's the life of God, the liberty of God, the joy and the peace of God, of who God is. It's the contentment in your life, the confidence in your life. It's the light of life. John 10:10 says that Jesus, the thief came to steal, kill, destroy, but Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. Zoe life, God life, not just existence and numbering out my days and doing my task and doing my job and going to work and getting the money to make a payment. Yeah, we got to do all those things and God wants to be in the midst of all those things, but I want to live the Zoe abundant life of God on the inside of me. I want to be fulfilled. I want to be the man or woman of God he's called me to be. I no matter where you're going to work tomorrow, no matter how many kids you got, when you go to bed tonight, I want you to reflect the light of God, the life of God. I want you to be the life of God when you go to work tomorrow. I want you to be the life and light of God when you go to work to lunch today. I want you to be everywhere you go to be a light and life to the world, just like Jesus was, that the life of God operates in your life. So no matter what job you're going to, no matter what restaurant you're going to, no matter who your kids are, man, that you are life. It's who you are in those things. I don't care how much your paycheck is. I don't care how many kids you got. I don't care what you like for lunch. I care about who you are in the midst of all those things. That's what God's called you to be the men and women of God he's called you to be. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 45 and 46, I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but the Bible says at the noon hour while Jesus is on the cross, the brightest part of the day, the darkness covered the land. Darkness covered the land, and for 3 hours it was dark. And at the end of the third hour, about 3 o'clock, Jesus cries out and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back on me? Why has your presence left me? Man, the light that came on day one, it was now dark, and Jesus took the curse and took the punishment and took the shame and took the guilt and took the separation from God, so you never have to be separated from God. His presence could dwell in you. It could be around you. His presence fills this house and lives on the inside of you, and you can take it with you. You're a vessel of light and life, and be who God's called you to be where you go. He separated himself from Jesus so that we would never have to experience it. Just a few moments later, Jesus gave up his spirit and died on the cross. He took it so that you wouldn't have to take it. We never have to be separated from God. His love is unconditional. What could separate us from God's love? Nothing. Jesus was separated for that moment so that you would never have to be. In John chapter 1, a passage of scripture we're very familiar with, I'm going to read a couple of verses. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we know that Jesus was the Word. Jesus was the example of the Word. The Word is an expression of thought. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. We begin to think according to the Word. Okay, so stay with me. We're coming back to this. But the Word is Jesus. So Jesus, the Word, was preexistent. It was day one. The Word is what set forth his presence. The Word is what went forth. Look at verse 4. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. His life brought light to everyone. Jesus, his life, his example of the Word, the Bible, which we have, was light to everyone. It illuminated. It brought illumination and radiance for people to see and to see clear, to see a path, to see opportunity, to see a vision for their future. He brought life and he brought light. Verse 7, talking about John the Baptist, this man came as a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe, referring to John the Baptist. And then in verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, referring to Jesus. Verse 9, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. His word and Jesus, his word brings light. So now God is light, Jesus is light, the Word is light. The Word is his presence. The Word is his liberty. The Word is his promise. The Word is his joy, his peace, his love. The Word is his counsel for us to give us clarity and vision and light our path. Listen to what it says in Psalms 119, verse 130. The entrance of your words give light. His words give light. And then listen, it gives understanding to the simple. You in here making excuses about not being smart. I'm new to the church. I'm new whatever. I'm just not that educated. I'm not that sharp. It's understanding for the simple. His word gives light to the simple. It's easy. We can grasp it. We can get it. Pastor Bill's been talking about reading the word and having an I can do it attitude. Man, you sit down with the word and say, God, I know this is you. I know this is your word. This isn't like any other book. God, I know you're passionate to show yourself to me and reveal yourself to me. I'm going to get revelation when I open this book. I'm going to get something great. God, show me something I've never seen before. God, I want revelation of who you are. I want to be changed when I read something. I want to get up from this moment when I read and I want to look at life different. I'm going to see stuff different because you changed me and conformed me because your word is alive and living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's light and life to me and for me. It's got to get in me. Psalms 119, 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It gives me direction and clarity and counsel. John chapter 6, Jesus preached a message. A lot of people had difficulty with it. People started to turn and walk, and he looked at the disciples and said, you want to go too? Peter says, where are we going to go? You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are day one. You are the light. You are the promise. You are the anointed one. You alone have the eternal words of life. Where are we going to go? He is the word. He is the truth. He is the life. All this heartache and all this pain and all this stuff around me, where are you going to go? I remember sitting in a funeral, and many of you probably sat in a funeral where it just didn't make sense. It was one of those sudden, shocking things where it's like it takes days for your mind to even catch up that that person's not here anymore. It was a sudden thing, and we're sitting, and I remember thinking this. I remember thinking, what is this guy going to say? I'm so glad I'm not that guy today. What is he going to say? And in his own eloquent way, in the way he began to share scripture and read the word, and I promise you, as clear as it was like this soothing relief ointment that poured on my heart, it was so peaceful to hear these words. What else could he have said that's going to heal my heart? What else can I hear that's going to bring change, that's going to give me hope, that gives me a sense of purpose that's bigger than the promise of death in this world? He conquered death. Therefore, I don't have to be afraid of death. I don't have to fear bad news or what the bad news could be. I'm not afraid of the worst thing that can happen because he conquered it. My hope is in him. His words bring life and healing and hope and peace. Then it says, the Bible tells us that we are the light. God is the light. Jesus is the light. The word is the light. I'm the light. I will bring illumination. I will be illumination. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father. That they would see your good works and glorify your Father. You don't have to sell it to people. You don't have to hogtie people and drag them in here. You don't have to condemn people. That they would see your good works. The Bible says the goodness of God leads men to repentance. That they would see your good works. You're the light of the world. And it would compel them to give glory to God. It would compel them to want to come to church. That your life would scream the love and benefit and pleasure of knowing God, that his presence would be evident in your life and people see it, that they hear the words coming out of your mouth that reflect the words that are in his Bible, that your actions would respond differently. You're not like everybody else. When everybody gets bad news and their head shut down and their shoulders shrunk down, your head comes up because you're expecting to win. You're expecting to overcome because he takes you from glory to glory in your life. He leads you in triumph. He delivers you from affliction. The fields are already white with harvest. I just got to go collect. Man, I'm expecting to win. I'm not fearing bad news. I don't have to respond the same way because his life is on the inside of me. I'm not subject to the power of darkness in this world. I'm not subject to the bad news. Yes, I live in it. Yes, I have to deal with it. Yes, it's around me. I'm not talking about the absence of it. I'm saying it has no control in my life. I'm above it. He put my feet on a solid rock. He positioned me in high places. He seated me in heavenly places. I'm not subject to the principalities and spirits of the world that lead this world. I am above it. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm strong in him and the power of his mind. I don't fear bad news. I have the Spirit of God on the inside of me. His word is alive on the inside of me. His light is alive on the inside of me. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of, he commanded light to shine out of darkness. He spoke it, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. He gave us the light of his knowledge. 1 Peter 2:9-10, but you, Guts Church, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness, and he called you into his marvelous light. Not just any old light, a marvelous light. That you called into this light, that you could live in this light and walk in this light. Man, it's what God's plan is for you, to be the light, to bring the life, that there is salvation on my lips, that the words that come out of my mouth, I'm unashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, so the words are encouragement, they're life-giving, they're word-based, and I bring life and salvation and hope to people and encouragement to people that strengthens people, and there really is healing in my hands, that when I high-five people and I shake hands with people and I side-hug people, that it actually conduces a healing in people's heart and produces a life flow because it's in me. It's who I am now. I'm the light of the world. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 3, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. This is Paul writing a letter to the church here in Colossians. He says, since we heard of your faith in Jesus, we've been praying ever since we heard of you. Verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Now listen, the hope which is laid up for you, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Where did you hear it? You heard it in the word of the truth of the gospel, of the good news. Verse 6, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit. The New American Standard says it is constantly bearing fruit as it is also among you since the day you first heard it. God is a perpetual flow of life. He is a perpetual flow. He initiated. He said, let there be light. His presence came on the scene. He cannot change. There's no variation in him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His character doesn't change. He's not making up new rules. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when he speaks his word, the Bible says in Isaiah that it has to produce. It cannot return void. It must accomplish what it's set forth to do. It is constantly bearing fruit. God is the essence of life itself. He initiated life. The Bible says that he holds things together, which we're coming back to in just a moment. He initiated life. He causes life to happen. He is life-giving. He is health. He is healing. He is restorations. He is rivers of living water. He wants to wash you. He wants to bring peace for you. He wants to bring joy for you. He wants to bring contentment, satisfaction, fulfillment, strength, confidence. It's who he is. It's his nature. It's his flow. He's not changing it up. He already knows the plan he has for you. He's not making up new rules. It's about us getting in his flow. We're wanting God to come in and tweak this and do this. He's not going to do it for 7.5 billion individuals. He's the standard. We conform to the image of Christ. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind to the word and the life and the light of God. We've got to grow in it and conform and be who God's called us to be. Verse 9, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask, now listen, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. We pray that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will, which is what he wants, which is what his word is. That you would be filled with the knowledge of his will, of his word, of his promise, of his presence. That you would be filled with the knowledge of his word. Listen, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy. It's not the same as living in the Spirit as it is to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it says, now that you live in him, let us also walk in him, that my life would bear fruit, that it would be reflective of the life that God's called me to live. As I continue to get filled with the knowledge of his word and his will, then I will walk worthy of the Lord. Listen, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, back to the good works, back to what people see in my life, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Look, pleasing him in every way, being fruitful. His word is constantly bearing fruit. His word becomes operative in my life, and now my life is being fruitful because my response is according to his word. It's not my human reactions. It's not my natural reactions. Man, some of you guys have stressful jobs, hard jobs, difficult people you work with, family obstacles, whatever it is. Man, when you begin to let the life of God flow through you, it brings and bears fruit in that area. It brings change, it brings life, it brings hope. You're the light of the world. Your light will compel and bring change. Now listen, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has qualified you. You're qualified, and now you're an inheritor of the saints in the light. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power or the stronghold or the ability of darkness and conveyed us or transferred us into the kingdom of his son, of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Listen, verse 15, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus was there in day one. The word was there in day one. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. One version says he holds all things together. Can I help you with something? You had nothing to do with the earth rotating around the sun today. Zero. You had nothing to do with your lungs breathing air today and your heart and your kidneys and your liver. You have nothing to do, contrary to popular belief, with the flowers that are growing in your garden. You want to take credit for it, but you can't. You planted seeds, you watered them, you put them in the sun, and God causes harvest. He causes life. He causes growth. He causes fruit to grow. He sustains this world that he created. He holds it all together. Listen, there are protons and electrons going around some little nucleus of an atom right now. You got nothing to do with it. He holds it together. Yes, sin came into the world. Yes, there are bad things that happen, but he is outside of time. He holds the world together. His presence is here. His character doesn't change. He initiated from day one, and he's still available for us today, and he dipped in his own pocket, and he separated himself from God, from Jesus for those 3 hours so that he would never have to be separated from you so you could have him in your life today. Tomorrow when you go, when you leave this building today, that you could be the life and the light he's called you to be. Verse 19, listen. You want to know his character, his nature? For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. It pleased God to dwell fully in Jesus. Listen, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. It pleased God to dwell in Jesus fully and reconcile the world. The gangbangers, the sex traffickers, the tyrants, the dictators, the heartache, the offensive people, the ones that have cut you and hurt you. Those, he loved the world so much he gave, and he took pleasure in reconciling the broken world back to him from day one. He took pleasure in reconciling. Now listen, he took pleasure in living in Jesus. He takes pleasure in living in you. And now you have the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5 says that I have the ministry of reconciliation. He takes pleasure in that ministry in me and through me to the people around me, as if he were pleading through me, be reconciled to God. He takes pleasure, he's reaching out to the people around you through you. You've got to be a conduit of this life and this light. We've got to conform to the image of Christ. You say, well, what does that look like? Let me help you. It's his identifying with the promise of his word. You'll hear the rhetoric. It feels like rhetoric. I don't know if that's the right word. It feels like you're just hearing, like it's just saying, like we just casually throw it out. I'm above and not beneath, the head and not the tail. Da, da, da. No, 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 stop. I'm above. I'm above. I'm not beneath. I'm above. I'm the head, and I'm not the tail. I'm the lender. I'm not the borrower. I can do all things through Christ. He's unstoppable. I'm unstoppable because I can do all things. Circumstances are not ideal. It's a difficult situation, but I can do all things through Christ. I'm weak in this area, but man, your grace, God, it's sufficient for me. It's sufficient. Your grace is sufficient for me, that in my weaknesses is made your perfect strength. Therefore, I am strong in you. The same Spirit that conquered death, that delivered all of humanity, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it's alive in me. I can hear your voice, God. I'm led by your Spirit. Man, we have got to identify with that. And when we begin to identify with it, it becomes our heart. Where our heart is, where our treasure is where our heart is. And when we put our treasure in the truth of the word, in the presence of God, it's where our heart goes. And the abundance of the heart now comes out of my mouth so genuinely and so real and so full of faith, and it begins to affect the circumstances around me. I'm the light of the world. He is the light that lives in me. He takes pleasure in dwelling in you and showcasing himself to the rest of the world. Verse 21, and you who were once alienated, you were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in his own body of his flesh through death. Listen, he qualified you. Now he presents you holy and blameless and above reproach. I don't know about you. I've said the word reproach for a couple of years, and I didn't really know what it meant. I was just quoting scripture, saying it, and I thought, what is reproach? Some of you guys are smarter than I am going, duh. Listen, fault, blame, discredit, disapproval, disgrace. He presents you holy, pure, without fault, blameless, and above discredit, above disgrace, above disqualification. He presents you that way. We've got to identify with it and now go be that. Be the life. Tame your tongue. Speak life. Speak the word. Listen, to meditate on the word day and night is not hard. Turn the radio off. Put some worship on. Just once. Turn the TV off that's filled with drama and debauchery and foolishness. Get out from being caught up in these characters. I'm not condemning it. I'm just saying get out of it and go read a devotional. Call up a friend that's got words of life come out of their mouth and banter for a moment. Go back and forth. Who are you hanging with? Who are you sharing life with? Man, light has no companionship or fellowship with darkness. I don't have time to expound on that, but there are verses that I have that light and darkness are separate. In 2 Corinthians 6, it says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? And it says, you're not limited by us in the preceding verse. You're limited by your own affections. You're not going to find the same satisfaction and fulfillment and presence of God in the fallen, broken down world around you. I hate to break this to you, but God's not an American. God's not an Oklahoman American. Man, he is God. And you know what? We get to think that we are because this country and this government was built on biblical foundations. So we're as close to it as it gets. But he is passionate about humanity and the broken world all around us. How is it going to get fixed? How is it going to get healing? There are many educated people that are bringing relief and humanity and efforts to help bring change. But listen, it happens when the heart is changed. And it's going to get changed when your life compels them and brings light and their eyes are open to see it. Now they begin to think different, and you bring the light of the gospel to these people, and they start to lay down the things that have brought division amongst people, and they ask for forgiveness, and things begin to change. Let's scale it down to your world. When you bring light and life and inspiration, you don't have to condemn people. You don't have to hogtie people. You simply have to let your good works shine before men. Let the words that come out of your mouth be life-giving, seasoned, and fresh. That there is salvation in my lips and healing on my hands. Just be the light and be the life. Can I give you one more example of what I'm talking about there? Here's Mary, comes to the tomb. Jesus has been dead for a couple of days. She's coming to put oil and spices and whatever it is to see a dead body. And do whatever she's going to do culturally. And the angel of the Lord appears to her and says, why do you seek the living one among the dead? Why are you looking for the resurrection life amongst death? She wasn't coming looking for the living one. She was coming looking for a dead body. This is not a self-help therapy program. This is not an option for people in the world. This is the way, the truth, and the life. This is God. There's only one way to the Father through Jesus. This is truth. This is liberty. There's not another religion I know of where the deity paid the price and initiated the relationship so you could be presented holy and blameless and without fault above reproach. God rescued you. God saved you. It is not just an option. It is life. And I want this life and this promise and this truth and this light to be evident in me. I don't want to just exist for 70 years on this earth. I don't want to just attend this building and have a service. I don't want to come watch the band. I want to worship with you. I want us to celebrate the goodness and nature and character of God. I want revival. I want the presence of God. I want to be changed. I want everything God has. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to get up tomorrow and just go back to work. I want to live the life and walk out the life, and together we affect change and we reflect his glory. And man, we are who God's called us to be. I want to live with that peace and that joy. I don't want to waste another day.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.